Welcome to The Greatest, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Greatest. Do you feel like I sort of threw the hello away?
What do you mean?
Hello! Like I needed to do it
more. You know,
more
episode, 40 whatever?
Yeah.
And we're still trying to perfect the hello? I think it's natural.
You know, I'm Megan Gailey. I'm here with CJ Toledano. We're obviously reeling. We have that Pro Bowl hangover.
That was the big game for us.
Oh my God. We said we got to get our eyes on every single piece of Pro Bowl content. There's no more embarrassing event in sports. I have been to one. Everyone who I saw there, I would describe as mentally unwell.
Real quick, I'm not saying this because it is still our work, but like I do like the idea of the Pro Bowl.
You like the skills.
I like the skills challenge, dodgeball, tic tac toe.
You
with
love
the kickers,
you love a new jersey.
A new jersey. You know, I have a Pro Bowl bucket hat. Mm-hmm. I have the problem is it's just I don't like the timing. I don't like it's not important in the eyes of a lot of sports people, but one day we will return to glory with the Pro Bowl.
I'm roasting it, and this year I voted for it. I did the fan voting. I created an NFL.com screen name and login so I could vote for Kenny Moore, who did not get it. There were all these guys I voted for, and then there were also
Rodrigo.
No Rodrigo. Of course I voted for Rodrigo. There were also Colts players that I didn't vote for. I said, not your year. So I felt like I was like a good voter, and now here I am shitting on it. Oh, he'll be back next year.
We'll be back hopefully in a normal next year. And now we're in the big week, Super Bowl week. It's a little different, but like we are near the finish line of a not as rocky as I thought NFL season. Definitely stuff has happened, but we are here.
I think there's been so much else going on that you are ignoring the rockiness of it. We are so excited to have our guest today. I have been friends with her and a fan of hers for as long as I can remember being in comedy. We talk a lot about Cleveland on this show. You may not know this. We did a greatest Cleveland sports moments, and we've only ever done a Chicago one. Like we ride hard for Cleveland, and our guest is no exception to that. Cleveland's own Cleveland's funniest is always voted that. Mary Santora, please welcome. Hi.
Oh, hi, guys. Thank you for having me. I've got to tune in and listen to that Cleveland's best moments. I feel like that is something that I'm missing from my life. Even though I lived all of them, I would love to hear what you guys had to say.
Yes.
It was equal parts sad and triumphant, which is a lot of Cleveland sports talk.
Yeah, we had 100%. Michael Joyce on, and he is a father of two and works full time. And we were like, how can we pick a topic for him that will just be things that are off the top of his head? And that's how Greatest Cleveland Moments was born. Mary is joining us today because she has a brand new album coming out. It's already available for pre-order. It's called Hillbilly Bougie.
Great title.
Which I love.
Thank you.
The art is so fun too. You're in Cleveland right now. You're a huge Browns and Indians fan. How are you just feeling overall?
Honestly, it's so funny because I was like the way that the Browns year went, I was like, this is incredible. And I'm an optimistic person to a fault. Like I am so positive and glasses half full all the time that when we started winning consistently, I'm like, you guys don't understand. Like you get on Twitter, which is like the worst place when you're a positive person and everyone's crying and bitching. I'm like, you guys are, I think the first week when I was like, you guys are acting like the Cleveland Browns aren't 7-4 right now.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Get out of here, you know? So to me as a Browns fan and someone who's been a Browns fan for so long, I was so excited just for us to have the season, for us to be on the same page as a team. Like people overlook it and they want more, which is great. But I'm like, but when you are such a loyal fan to such a terrible team for so long, it's like any little glimmer of hope is the best. So I'm so happy with the season. I love how it went. I mean, obviously you want it to go further, but like, I'm a very content, very happy fan.
Well, I mean, this is their motion picture season. You know, like they overcame a lot. I always remember as a kid, watching Major League, which is one of my favorite movies, and mm-hmm. they'd be like, they won the pennant. And I remember asking my dad, like, oh, did they win the World Series? He was like, no, this is just to go to the World Series. Yeah. And I'm like, what? Right. No, I want to see them. And it's like, that's not what it's about when your team is so historically bad. It's about right, just exactly. being there. And that well, is the championship.
For me personally, it was like beating the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Ooh! Like that was, yeah, that's you don't Bowl. Understand what
beating,
that means.
Beating them. Like beating them. Them. I mean.
The view, oh my God. And this is, I don't want this to sound as morbid as it is, but the view of Big Ben at the end yep. crying yeah. with the Brown Steelers score and knowing that he's in his hometown, that was the screensaver on my phone until my dad died. Like that was the only thing that changed it for me was I was like, all right, I'll change it to a picture of my dad yeah. and I. But man, just looking at that every time I picked up my phone brings a smile to your face.
I'm so happy that your dad got that memory. You know, he yes. got to see that. I mean, I've been following your social media and I know how much your dad meant to you. CJ's dad is also passed. So it's devastating. And I've been so sad for you. But even hearing that, I'm like, I'm so happy he got to see the Browns win a playoff game.
Dude, you know, like that was the last text conversation that my dad and I had. He was in the ICU. And the last like back and forth was about how happy he was that the Browns won. And he's like, I've never seen it. He's, you know, he's 59 years old, 60 years old. He's like, I've never seen that in my life for us That's to win a beautiful. Playoff game in Pittsburgh. Big Ben has won the most games in Browns Stadium, yeah. like mm-hmm. of any quarterback of all time. Mm-hmm. So that just meant
Browns
so much.
Quarterbacks it was such a, too.
Including yes, any, yes, yes, the ones that have played for us.
Like, he's the winningest quarterback yeah. in Browns Stadium.
So I'm very happy with, I'm very content and I'm only looking forward for more, you know?
That's yeah. amazing, Mary. Now, you used to work at a sports bar and mm-hmm. I did too. You were a server or a bartender or both?
Bartender.
Bartender. Do you miss those days?
Girl, not for one second. There was a time, right? I quit bartending altogether in 2019. Uh-huh. So it's only been a couple years now. But there was a time when I was really struggling to get used to like a regular paycheck because I'm on radio now. So having like essentially an office job where it's like, you know, regular set hours and I get paid every 2 weeks. So like that part of it, not having cash took a while to get used to, but like not having to deal with people or there are like pretty much no outside forces on my mood every day.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It makes yeah. me so happy that I just don't have to. And I'm sure you get this as a woman too, like trying to cut off a grown man oh. at 10 in the morning because he just came from tailgating and like being a 22-year-old girl, they're looking at me. I'm like, dude, I'm just trying to do my job. Like, please, please don't make this hard on me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you can relate to this too. And I've brought it up on the show before. My comments on the internet to my comedy are horrible. I don't even know if I've seen someone whose comments are as bad as mine, whatever. But I'm like, a man has called me to my face a dumb cunt when I wouldn't give him a beer. So it's like, yeah. it truly prepares you for trolls online because part of my closing duties when I was a bartender was I would have to go into the men's bathroom and wipe Coke off of the toilet paper dispenser.
Oh yeah, for
and it's
sure.
like, listen, I got a 4-year degree. Okay, I didn't think I was going to be here with not gloved, just my little white hand wiping cocaine everywhere. And that's yeah. where you find yourself and like sometimes like just giant platters of nachos will make me nostalgic for it or like I'll see right. something. There's decorations that are only ever in bars. You know those like really cheap beer
flags?
Decoration.
Oh, those, yeah.
yeah. The beer oh, decorations yes, yes. and the beer coasters. Like sometimes I'll see those and be like a little like, oh God, I remember putting those up for people to puke on.
I mean, those yes. are the backgrounds to a lot of our comedy shows before. You yeah. know, it was like,
yeah,
sure. not only bartending, but yeah, that's like comedy show aesthetic.
The Bud Light, like St. Patrick's Day clovers.
Oh, God. Oh,
and like,
God.
Yeah, where you gotta. You gotta deck it out for every single holiday. I'm like, nobody cares. Yeah. Everybody's so drunk.
Or there's like a backward. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No. I was just gonna say that I always said that the only reason I'm any good at crowd work, there's two factors to that. One is I did about a year and a half straight of cold 30-minute opens where it was just me and the wow. headliner, and I'd be like in casinos in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So it's like, that's gonna make you good at crowd work. And then bartending for most of my adult life will also make you good at just like that quick back and forth. That is the only skill I feel like I've taken that I still use.
And being just in Cleveland. Like, we talk about this all the time. Like, in Chicago, they would just turn off a TV and be like, okay, the show's starting. Yeah. And it was like, oh my God, like cops who are drunk and mad at you. And you're just like, mm-hmm. hello, hi. And they're like mad mm-hmm. the Blackhawks aren't on anymore. And in New York, I remember being like, oh no, I've lost my skill of like fighting with people until
surprise
they listen
comedy.
To me. I like, dude, and you lose it.
It's so funny because there's been, I mean, as a even when Cleveland has been historically terrible, they would cancel shows because
yeah.
of games.
Yeah.
Like, I know I that that's not
correct.
A place.
I think that is
yeah,
correct.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Because I'm like, there is no reason for us to be fighting with a Browns playoff no. game right now. Cancel this show. No one is coming.
Yeah, 100%. Chicago would always cancel. And then you move to New York, nothing would be canceled. Out here, nothing. No. Absolutely
yeah,
not.
Nothing. If, I mean, maybe Dodgers stuff, but we just haven't been able to experience that, really.
In LA, it's like they're just like, oh, it'll start after that.
Yeah.
So, like, okay. there would be playoff baseball games, and they would end at, like, 9, which is midnight East Coast time. But, like, 9 p.m. after a sporting event is not when you want to start doing comedy for men.
No.
Like, that's who's left at these bars. It's just drunk. So, that yeah, just cancel it. It doesn't, there should be nothing entertaining on the day of the Super Bowl. Bravo doesn't have Real Housewives of Atlanta. And I know Bravo fans are like, we're not watching the sports. It's like, okay, but a lot of us are. And you mm-hmm. just have, it's the Lord's day. And by the Lord, I mean football. It's football's
right.
day. And you can't have anything else. I'm sorry. Those are just the rules.
Smart.
Which brings us to our topic. Ooh. So we did greatest Super Bowls last week. And we
very sporty, a lot of stats, a lot of moments.
I don't know if there were a lot of stats. We talked about left shark
scores,
so
and whatnot.
I think there was like
it's as sporty as the show gets. Yeah.
We wanted to stay Super Bowl centric, but mm-hmm. have a little bit more fun. Mm-hmm. And so this week we are doing greatest Super Bowl. Oh God,
you got it.
Oh God, CJ,
Super Bowl.
Get there.
Okay. So this week we are doing greatest Super Bowl commercials. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Very fun. Very fun.
It's been a fun day reminiscing.
Okay. Yeah. yeah. I mean, it really, it's been emotional for me too. I watched one and started crying.
Megan's had a tough day.
Just started crying. Yeah,
just for any listeners who, if she starts breaking down.
No,
in tears.
I'll be totally fine. But yeah, this is one of the more fun topics mm-hmm. we've gotten to do. So I'm so happy you are here for it.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts before we dive into this?
No, I mean, I'm ready.
You're
to
ready?
Go. I'm super
yeah,
excited.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I mean, I was reading a lot of the backstory in all these commercials,
yeah.
and it's very similar to what I do now.
Uh-huh.
And so it's been, yeah, it was really cool. This is a fun little research assignment. I'm excited to talk about these.
It's
reminisce.
Your dream to make commercials.
Yeah, I'm inspired by
it. It's one of your
it.
Many dreams.
Yes, inspired by it. Just a lot of overlap. But yeah, there's just like, that Super Bowl is so big. It's bigger than any Sport World Series, NBA, any of that.
It's
because,
bigger than the Oscars, too.
Yeah,
like ratings-wise.
There's like two aspects aside from the sport itself. It's commercials and halftime. It brings everyone together at the parties. And so like it's great.
No parties this year.
No, well, no parties this year. But we're still going to be on the internet talking about our favorite commercials.
Mm-hmm. And it's also, I like the commercials and halftime aspect, too, because like Megan said, there's some people who are watching it because they have to, or mm-hmm, they're mm-hmm. dating somebody who's into football. And it's like, it's the one thing where like, okay, well, you can at least get a kick out of the commercials, or you
yeah.
can at least get a kick out of halftime. Like, there's something for everybody here, you know?
Exactly.
It's way more cultural event than it is sporting event, I think.
Yes.
And yeah. so that's why I don't like when people bitch about it. Cause it's like, we've made it as palatable for you as possible.
right.
You should watch a wild card game. Okay. You're going to get really upset at that. okay. So Mary, as our honored guest, you are going to kick us off with your number 3 pick. So we go in
okay.
like descending order for greatest Super Bowl commercial of all time.
Okay, my number 3 pick is going to be the Bud Light Magic Fridge.
Oh,
I don't know if you guys
yes.
remember this.
Yep.
Yes, we're like he's like stacking up all the beer and his friend's like, aren't you afraid people are going to steal the Bud Light? And he's like, no, because I installed this. And then he like pulls the little candlestick down. And then the fridge rotates to like a little dinette set.
Yeah.
But then it cuts to them in like the apartment next door. And they're like, dude, the magic fridge is back. And they're all like stealing the beer as fast as they could. Because I'm like, that is absolutely something that anybody would do. If a fridge just appeared full of beer, I'm taking every bottle.
Yes.
Just beer commercials in general is obviously we're going to probably brought up a lot. But it really is amazing how creative they get every year.
Yes.
And the Magic Fridge is a great example. And I feel like it kind of inspired that. I mean, I don't know how embarrassing it is for Browns fans, the fridge, the Browns fridge for when they won their first game, which I didn't know if it was like a dig at Cleveland sports fans or if it was like a true. And now it's like in the rear view. It's like you guys are past that. You're for real team. But like, yeah, just the creativity that these beer companies have always had, which the Magic Fridge is always a great example. But yeah, what were your thoughts on the Browns fridge too?
They're called Victory Fridge.
Yes.
So that was 2 years ago. That was in 2018, because in 2017 was our 0-16 season.
Yeah.
So we hadn't won a game in so long, for anybody who doesn't know, and we hadn't won a game in so long that Bud Light was like, okay, I think they set up six fridges all over Cleveland at different bars. And they said, when the Browns win their first game in however long, all these beers are free. So and when I tell you that those bars, those six bars that had those fridges were packed.
Oh my
single, it took like, I'm telling you, people for like, and the thing is, Bud Light is not an expensive beer.
No, so especially in Cleveland.
They're
$2.
$2, maybe $3. Like, if you're at the stadium, you might get hit with a $5 beer. But like a regular, like the aluminum can bottle looking ones that they had, those are like $3 anywhere you go. You're getting a bucket of them for $10,
right,
you know?
Right.
And so, but people loved it. People wanted to be a part of it. And it was like, oh, even if we don't, you know, even if we don't, whatever, like it takes us 4 weeks to win, we at least get this free $2 beer. It was, people loved it. It was not, I mean, I'm sure some people were on there like, oh, this is insulting train. But the thing about Cleveland is we have such good, like sense of humor, because we've been the butt of the joke for so long. We're like, listen, you guys can make fun of us all you want. You're still giving away free
beer.
Yeah,
we're getting beer.
Like, we don't
whether
care.
You're laughing at us or with us.
We were going to be here regardless.
Did someone break into one of them? Like, I feel like, or
I
maybe
feel like sure I might have heard that.
Or there were people trying to. Oh, my God. I totally forgot about that. I forgot about this commercial until I Googled it, and Google Image has popped up. It was from 2006. A simpler time. Oh my God. The men in this commercial are so white. Like,
they really are.
They are in just classically bad outfits, bad hair, bad sideburns. It really is. Now, when I see white male comedians get upset about how much things have changed, and then you see these two schlubs in a commercial, it's like, okay, I get why you're angry now, because these are just ugly white men who made it work. And
they're representative of most men in America. That's what they were trying to do. So
yes, they are. And I'm like, I don't know why that would offend you. Like, is it upsetting to see yourself so well represented? Like, I don't know why it bothers you so much.
The only thing that is like not artistically accurate is that they are, one is in a polo and one is in a button down, and they are dressed like they're going to meet girlfriends, parents, and not good. These are not, I'm not saying high end button down, high end polo, but they would be in hoodies, jerseys, but they couldn't do that. And in this commercial, they kept referring to it as like the big game. I love that. I love when they will not reference the big game. And it's like, it's clearly football. It's never basketball and it's never baseball. I think when in a commercial they say the big game, it's 100% of the time football. Yep. But it's just funny how they like refuse to acknowledge what they're saying. But yeah, the fridge. Ugh. And like, that's like a wet, you know, a man somewhere in the Midwest has built that in his house.
Yeah, for sure. But he like made it so it turns into his own bedroom or something. 100%. He's not giving away that beer for free. And I like that you mentioned the Midwest, because I'm like, well, people in the Midwest already have a fridge in the garage full of. Yeah, that's the beverage fridge. Yeah.
CJ's mom, sweetest Filipino gal in the world, it's just her and her boyfriend that live in their house, and they have one of those like meat coolers in their garage. But it's because she lived in Pennsylvania for so long, and she just got to have a meat cooler.
My mom and dad moved to America for opportunity, and that opportunity is a second fridge in the garage.
Yeah,
it's a meat cooler for sure.
Your mom has three fridges total.
Possibly, because she'll pull out weird pizza frozen snacks.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, that's not fitting in two of those fridges.
We have at my parents' house now, we definitely had a garage fridge growing up, but now they have an upstairs fridge and a basement fridge. And then when it's winter time, they just put things in the garage. They're like, yes. Oh, it's cold enough.
Yeah.
And so there's not like a structure, but the garage is just one giant walk-in.
I didn't realize that wasn't a thing. I mean, I know it sounds stupid, but being in a place where it's cold and snows 9 months out of the year, I didn't realize that it wasn't common knowledge just to put your beer outside.
Yeah.
Like in college parties where you would walk out to a backyard and yeah. It was just cases of beer.
Oh,
you just go grab one and walk back inside.
It's
brilliant.
It makes so much sense. And honestly, the LA ice industry is doing really well because we have to like,
it is always like, oh, let's text one of our friends who are on the way to grab some ice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just an extra step we have to go through.
That's all right.
Okay, CJ, do you want me to go?
Oh, yeah, you go for it.
Okay. So my number three pick, it was going to be my number one, and then I realized I didn't care that much about it, but it is historically significant. So mine is the 1984 Apple commercial.
Great. And
I just watched this one.
Oh, so I actually did not. I knew a lot about this commercial, but I did not know it was a Super Bowl commercial. So maybe I didn't know that much. But they did like a whole segment on this on like I Love the 80s, mm-hmm. which was I was so obsessed with that. That's when I kind of like learned you could be a comedian. And I loved it. And I was like, all I want to do is just talk about things that happen. What? Who is Michael Ian Black? And now, you know, sometimes I see him and know who he is and don't want to be him.
Do you remember watching those shows and be like, oh my God, they're so quick. Look yeah. how yeah. fast they're making all this.
Oh, I was like, these are the funniest people yes. I've ever seen. And I was like 14 and I was like, I gotta get to VH1.
Well, and then you find out it's just the uglier comedians writing those lines or shouting yes. them out to them before.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't 100%. Matter. Still my dream if I could do anything.
Listen, I've been the ugly comedian writing those.
I guess I have a writing job right now, so I am the ugly comedian.
Oh, that's different.
So this commercial, extremely historically significant, obviously a play on, I hesitate to even bring it up because the worst people on earth reference this book now, Orwell's 1984. Did you guys have to read that in high
yep.
school?
Yep.
I did not. No.
Oh, I did. And I just remember being like, what is happening? Like,
it was a little bit of what is happening and like, we get it. You're
yeah,
cool.
This is bad.
Scientific.
This is bad. Stop. Yeah. You shouldn't let them do this. And so this was the first viral commercial they call. Obviously, there like wasn't the internet, but it was replayed on news stations. Like it premiered. It only ever was played one time just during the 1984 Super Bowl. And then it was just replayed so many places. And it was from Apple and it was announcing the launch of Macintosh computers. And they sold, I think, $150 million in 84 in 3 months of these computers
wow.
when that wasn't even a thing yet. You know, like we didn't have a computer in my house until way after 1984. I'm assuming you
right.
guys are probably in the
yeah.
same boat, but it had such cultural significance. It's almost like a short film.
Mm-hmm.
It's not mm-hmm. funny. It's kind of creepy. There is a hot woman. And that's
a hot woman.
And then a bunch of like gray Uncle Festers.
Yep.
And yes. she throws a hammer at the screen. And it really is like a fuck you to the man. And I really don't
yeah.
know how a GOP senator could watch it right now and not think that they're the man, but they do. And it created the phenomenon that is the Super Bowl commercial. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, well, it's like to use that platform, which is one of the most corporate, like a Super Bowl commercial process is very corporate and whatever. But the story to be Big Brother, you know, 1984 is about Big Brother's watching you and then about the people who fight against it. And to make a short film inspired by that is back then, yes, huge, but super, super obvious in terms of like media now, which is funny. But I think I've been forced to watch that commercial in like film school and advertising stuff. And yeah, it is kind of crazy thinking about that premiering in 1984.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
So ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Yeah. If someone made it now, we'd be like, bah.
Yeah.
Because it would be Marjorie Taylor Greene making it. We'd be right. like, fuck you. Shut up.
They'd be like, oh, they're just going to assume that the person with the hammer is a woman. You're just
yeah.
assuming her gender. Is that what you're doing? Like, all right.
No,
oh,
yeah.
And she is, I don't know if Hooters existed at the time, but she
that
is.
That was their outfit.
She is. She's in like an orange short shorts and a white tank top. And that is the iconic Hooters outfit. Yeah. So I don't know if they stole that from her. I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg in this situation. But I will tease that I did pick another commercial with a hot woman in a white tank top.
It makes sense.
It's a recurring theme for me.
Marketing works on you, huh?
It does. It does.
And also, just to say, again, about fighting against Big Brother, Apple has since become scarier than Big Brother.
Oh, yeah. It's
like, literally, we have to deal with privacy agreements and whatever, like Apple and all of its devices invading our privacy on a daily basis. So it's pretty funny, like, how far it's evolved.
Yeah.
I just love that because that's where it started was. I remember when our school got Macintosh computers.
Oh, my God.
And we had like a computer lab for the first time. And it was like, we're doing all these things for children and like very much so in the realm of this commercial.
Yeah.
And now it's like, if I don't get an Apple Watch for Christmas, you know what I mean? Like, it's just such a 180.
My elementary school did not have air conditioning, but we had a computer lab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to have word munchers.
And I don't, word munchers. Oh, I. God, whenever I hear muncher,
yeah, munchers is a gross word.
To a different place.
Word munchers, number munchers.
Okay.
I crushed it.
CJ, what's your number three?
My number three, to no surprise, has to do with Michael Jordan and the Bulls. MJ versus Bird, the McDonald's commercial, it's titled The Showdown.
Yeah.
Which I, you know what, until maybe a few years ago, I forgot that this debuted during 1993. Obviously, Jordan's, you know, in the Bulls' height. But it was, for anyone not familiar, it was the, you know, empty gym. Jordan and Bird go head-to-head in a horse match. It's a two-parter. So they showed early in the game 30 seconds of it kind of teasing what was going to happen. And then a minute long later in the game where they played horse crazy shots, which are, you know, pretty standard horse
They're
shots.
They're like off the Sears Tower, though?
No. Mm-hmm. This is like, well, was it off the Sears Tower?
Yeah, at the end they're off of a skyscraper. Okay. Well, and I think it's the Sears Tower.
I mean, we've seen that. From trick shots on House of Highlights.
Okay, but this is 1993.
Yeah, 1993. But anyways, yeah, iconic. But then I also, they remade it in 2010, LeBron versus Dwight Howard. I don't know if you guys remember that one.
That metaphor is not the same.
What?
Dwight, I was just thinking that.
Dwight Howard and LeBron are not the same as Jordan.
It was like close, maybe.
At the time, it was like...
Oh, okay. This is when Dwight Howard was like on the cover of SI with his Superman arms and...
Exactly. So...
Okay.
It's not close. He never had won a championship yet. But yeah, it isn't close. But the one fun fact about this is that it was directed by Joe Pitka, who directed Space Jam.
The original.
Yeah. What do you mean? No, both.
Oh, he's directing the new one?
Yeah, the guy, he's a famous commercial music video director. But the original Space Jam, yes.
Yes.
But also the original did both commercials.
The remake and the original.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But he is not directing the new Space Jam.
No.
And was this before or after the like iconic moment we see in The Last Dance when Bird is like, fuck you, motherfucker?
So this is 93. Fuck you, motherfucker, would have been what? That came during the Dream Team or what? I can't remember. When was that moment?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So this is 93.
I think I forget. Bird is always saying, fuck you, motherfucker. I'm mad at something. So I'm not remembering that exact moment. But yeah. Oh, so, and then also the 2010 version with LeBron and Dwight filmed at Conseco.
Really?
Yep, in Indianapolis.
Now Banker's Life.
Now Banker's
Life. Because Conseco.
I don't know how to say it.
It went, well, I always get confused because there's Jose Conseco, but then this is Conseco. Mm-hmm. Either way, it went bankrupt and it doesn't exist.
Yikes.
So it's that's gone. Why they, but I did, there was a man, oh gosh, maybe they'll have to cut this. No one cares. There was a man I knew who was affiliated in some way. I won't say how, but he ended up marrying a woman that jumped out of his birthday cake.
Beautiful.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's amazing.
Great way to meet.
You know, true Cinderella story. To go from I'm jumping out of a rich man's cake to I'm marrying him. Okay, girl. She wore really fun outfits.
Wait, why did that come up?
Because he ran Conseco.
Okay.
He was the CEO of Conseco.
Well, she was trying to avoid that. And I thought that for a second, too. I was like, he had to have worked for the company. Otherwise, yeah, this is a weird story.
He was the CEO. It doesn't matter.
That guy Larry Bird?
And they would sit courtside at every Pacers game. And she would have, I mean, this is like in Indiana too. Okay. And she would have like thigh high canary yellow boots on. And we were just like, this bitch is awesome. But then, of course, everyone else was like, look at this trash. And I was like, she's an icon. Mary Sue. Why do I keep saying more details?
Yeah, no more. Do not get sued.
Stop. I don't even know if that story's factual. That's just like what I heard when I was a child. Why was I told that story as a child? I don't know. Okay, let's
That's the only thing that happened in Indianapolis. Yeah. They're like, this is like a you can make it true story.
They were like, Megan, learn to read or learn to jump out of a cake. These are your options. Okay, let's take a quick break and then we'll be back with our number two picks.
All right, and we are back with our second picks. Mary, what you got for your second pick?
Okay, my second pick, a lot of people hated. Mm. I loved. It is incredibly annoying, and I will say that. But my second pick is Puppy Monkey Baby.
Okay,
is my second,
yes.
I think I remember this one.
So it's from 2017.
Mountain Dew?
Mountain Dew. Thank you. These are my two reasons why I picked that one as my second favorite, because it is one of the only Super Bowl commercials that I remember what it was for.
Yeah.
Like I remember because it was so absurd. It was like three awesome things that go together, a puppy, a monkey, and a baby. And then it's like Mountain Dew Kickstarter. It's like Mountain Dew caffeine and whatever, you know? But I remember after watching that for like weeks after watching that, I was just like puppy, monkey, baby, puppy, monkey, baby. So like it did its job to get across. You're going to remember what it was. It was so weird and so ugly that you couldn't not talk about it.
Yeah.
So I think from like an advertising standpoint, that's why I had to give it to Puppy Monkey Baby.
It was really meta. It was it opened on them trying to figure out what would make the greatest Super Bowl commercial. Is that correct or no?
Yeah. They were like, mm-hmm. what does everybody love?
Yes.
That was like their point.
Yes.
And then that was based on Puppy Monkey Baby has a Wikipedia page. And
does it really?
Yes. According to iSpot.tv, I'll look it up. That commercial was the number one rated commercial of the night. So it was, everybody talked about it for sure. That's definitely the one I remember because on Monday, all of the news shows now do like a roundup. This is what I don't like about the modern day commercials is we see them before. I really don't like that.
Why? We were just talking about that on air where I was like, I get it if it comes out like a day before, but there's Super Bowl ads out now where I'm like, come on.
I don't want to see it. And and especially this year, it's like, we're not going to be watching with other people. We're going to be listening.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the point sometimes of like, oh, no one will be listening to these, but please stop. We want to be excited.
For the love of God,
for the
please.
Love of God, stop releasing them
early. Give us anything. Give us one thing to have.
The ad features a computer generated mashup of three things that the public generally finds to be cute, all in one body, a pug, puppy, the head, a monkey, the torso, and a dancing baby, the hips and legs, complete with a diaper.
Beautiful.
And I remembered it was Mountain Dew. You were saying it forever. Like it did do a good job.
Yeah.
Great pick.
And it was just so weird and so ugly. It was one of those that I was like, I can't look away from this.
Yeah.
And what is Mountain Dew Kickstart?
It's like a Mountain Dew's energy drink.
Oh, have you ever had that?
So it's like Mountain Dew. Well, the whole point was mixing three things together. So it's Mountain Dew juice and caffeine.
Yeah.
So puppy, monkey, baby.
Oh my God.
It's the classic drink that a teenager or college student hands you when you're like walking around the city.
Mountain Dew Kickstart has like 12 different flavors.
Yeah. It's huge.
They're like super popular, man. You might have been in LA for too long because you can't throw a stick without seeing some weird dude with a Kickstart walking around the street.
You've been in the Kickstarter house before.
Oh, that's what you did at All-Star Game?
Yeah, that was part of it.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know it was Kickstart. That was my birthday. Yeah. So Kickstart threw me a birthday party.
Look at that.
And I didn't even, I'm very anti-energy drinks. They freak me out.
No, they are pretty crazy.
But okay, it worked.
Maybe we'll have one. In your honor.
No.
On Sunday, I'll get
Mary,
one.
Mary, you don't want us to do that. You don't want... Tell CJ that you don't.
I feel like if you do, I need you to film it or at least tag me on Instagram for the aftermath.
Yep. Or for Loco.
Do you ever...
just go all the
do
way.
Do you ever perform like... would you prefer to be hungry or full when you're performing?
Oh, boy. That's a horrible question. Why is that so hard for me to answer? Because here's the thing, is that it's probably going to be a better show if I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Just because I'm a little snippier. Yeah. And I'm kind of bitchy. Mm-hmm. But like, if I'm too full and I'm up there feeling like I'm going to throw up, like I'm going to be lethargic. I won't be as quick. So I'm going to have to say hungry.
Yeah. I've told audiences before, like, I'm really full. And they did not care.
They don't care at all.
No, they're like, get on your unicycle and give us the damn show, bitch.
Right.
Okay. Great second pick. I
thank you.
Right when you said, I kept being like, there is some viral one that I cannot remember. And it was that one. And I'm happy for it to be back in my brain. My number two pick is from 1992. And it is the Pepsi Cindy Crawford.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, iconic.
She is just incredible in this commercial. It's there's that song. Just one. You know that one?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I'm so high. CJ's yep. word. We're going to get sued for stealing music.
Don't do too much.
No, yeah. I won't. She pulls up in a red sports car. She gets out. There's two little like farm hands watching her. She's in Daisy Dukes, a white tank top. Her hair is big and blowing, and she is just so mm-hmm. fucking hot.
No, like, 90s babe.
She is.
Champion.
Cindy Crawford. It's truly like if Shania Twain did that, that don't impress me much. So you think you're Cindy Crawford. That's what she would have said. She is the hottest hot supermodel. She yep. invented it.
She was the it thing for right, you know, right then.
This commercial has also been remade.
Yep.
I think
that, with a dude?
No, I think she's in it. I don't know. I actually
she was like watching like a gross guy like in Daisy Dukes or something.
Probably. And I'm yeah. not gonna be into
she
that.
She redid it with James Corden.
Yes,
if that's
yes.
what you're thinking
that
of.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like a gross guy.
Well, I mean, you weren't fully wrong. And then so I guess technically there's a twist at the end of this commercial because she gets there's a vending machine too, and oh God, I love a vending machine. Yeah. I mean, we're big vending machine fans.
I'll eat a meal out of a vending machine.
So it's just a Pepsi vending machine. She gets a Pepsi, and then the two farmhands are like, ooh, doesn't that new can look good? You know, like they're talking about yeah. the Pepsi can and not how hot Cindy Crawford is. Thanks for the twist. And I mean, it's all just about how gorgeous she is, and they nailed it.
Really mm-hmm. did.
She looks good now. I know her daughter is floating around.
Daughter kind of like looks almost identical to Cindy Crawford, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, she dated Pete Davidson.
Wow. That's undeserved.
Cindy Crawford?
No,
her daughter.
Her daughter.
Oh my God.
That is a great question,
true.
Mary.
I know.
I'm glad you asked that.
That's a real Kate Beckinsale. Yeah. Can you clear this up for
that's
me?
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like maybe, I don't know if that's his thing, that he's catching yeah. them all. I don't know.
That would be one I would be very upset with.
I do think this commercial kind of birthed the generation of like, is her name Al? Whoever Nick Lachey's wife is now. Sorry, no apologies that I don't know your name.
Vanessa,
yes. Yeah. Because like this kind of birthed those like Doritos commercials of like, we're just going to give you a hot woman doing something.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And that's a very Super Bowl commercial. Do I struggle to say Super Bowl?
I don't know.
That's a very Super Bowl commercial centric thing. Here's a hot woman and here's our product. And that's all we need.
Yeah.
And it really
and you'll
is.
Be fine.
It really is all I need. And
right.
I'm,
you'll figure it out.
And I'm a straight feminist woman. And I'm like, give me as much of these as you can. If it was all just hot women and ads this year, I'd go, okay, great. 2021. Thank you. Beautiful.
About time.
So 92. God, I wonder what my little 6-year-old eyes thought. do you think that like is the reason why I weigh myself every day?
Because of that commercial?
I don't know mm-hmm. if that's what it is, but you might have like an adversity to, you'd be like, listen, she drinks regular pop. Why can't I drink regular pop?
Yeah.
You
I don't
know,
even like
diet
pop.
Culture shoved in.
I don't even like pop. I don't even drink it. I don't like Pepsi. I don't like Coke.
I love it all.
I love Doritos, though. So they did capture
Doritos.
It there. Oof, they're so
you like
good.
Diet cherry Pepsi.
Yeah, but I'm not going to buy it for myself.
Well, I buy it for you. That's why.
And then I have a little sips of it.
Oh, this guy. Look at this guy. You're like, I don't like pop. He's like, but if you had to choose a favorite pop, yeah. would it be the one I buy you?
I do like Sprite. I love a Shirley Temple.
Ooh, a Sprite from McDonald's. Not a sponsor. Let's keep it moving.
Okay. Well, maybe they are. I don't know.
And I, my last pick was a McDonald's commercial. Anyways. all right. My pick?
Yeah.
I should go. Okay. Yes. So I struggle between two and one, but I'm going to put this in the two spot. The Budweiser frogs.
I had that written down. Great. And I didn't pick it. Well, no, I didn't pick it.
Oh,
go
okay,
ahead.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad because I was like, I feel like one of like someone's going to pick it. So I just went for it. The Budweiser frogs. This was 95, and
God,
so
it feels like
that crazy?
Just yesterday.
Well,
seriously,
and you could really like map out your life because you go, oh, 95, so probably ran for a year. No, this thing ran till 1 night. It ran till 98, which is like, wow. Can you imagine 3 years of just seeing this commercial and like you couldn't describe the different ones? You just are like Budweiser, like the frogs, blah blah. So those were around, and so the interesting fact that I found out about it was phased out. Because these frogs were being grouped together with like Ronald McDonald and all these other sort of like kid mascots.
They were like, oh my God.
Kid mascots.
And they were like, you can't, like, it's too much of an influence on kids.
It's like the camel for the smoking guy.
And so their fix, though, was the lizards took over. So it became the Budweiser lizards,
who
were very much.
The lizards.
Yeah, and I think they've done the Budweiser. And the lizards. Again, you would think like, hey, let's stop like this idea. We just got to switch it up. The lizards pretty much took over the frogs role and were successful. Went from 98 into the early 2000s. Had an album.
What?
With like, you know, funny Budweiser songs or
I
beer
feel like
songs.
I remember
yeah,
that.
You know? And so, yeah, they just really loved the reptile community when it for Budweiser. And so I think that was either simultaneously with the, I don't want to ruin the other if anyone has those other picks, but yeah, so Budweiser again continued to control the game, I feel like, in Super Bowl commercials.
I remember I was young, so I'd have been 6 years old. No, when was it? 96?
95, but yeah, 95? It was in 96 too. Yeah,
so yeah, I was so 6 years old, and I remember saying everything around me in that like three syllable cadence. Yep. So no matter what it was, if it was three syllables, I said it like that. So I'd be like, my mom would be like, what do you want for lunch? And I'd be like, ham sandwich. Yep. Like that's everything
great.
That I could say like that, I would say like that because I was so obsessed with those Budweiser frogs.
Yeah.
They were good. I mean, but you were a kid, you know, like. It
yeah, I was 6 years old. Yeah, absolutely.
See, and so it just is just there's evidence that they were right. It was really getting through to kids.
God, they were great. They were great. I mean, I'll save it till the end, but. We're going to have to give a round of applause for Budweiser. they really.
And we mentioned it last week, but is Budweiser, they're foregoing a funny commercial this year?
Yes, they are foregoing a commercial this year for
vaccine awareness.
Yes. So are they making a commercial about vaccine
I don't know.
Awareness?
I'm excited to see what it is. But I mean, and I wouldn't be necessarily mad if it's funny.
From what I heard was that there a lot of big companies like that were saying that their money was better used other places.
Fantastic.
That they weren't going to spend it all on advertising this year. Basically, like you said, kind of to raise vaccine awareness in that way where they're like, hey, why are there no commercials? And it's like, oh, because we're using our money where it should be.
Great. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think I heard that about Pepsi and Coke, but like big advertisers that were like, hey, we can make a stance. Why don't we kind of a thing? So
here is a message from them. For the first time in 37 years, Budweiser will not air a Super Bowl ad. Instead, we are redirecting our advertising dollars to raise awareness of the COVID-19 vaccines.
Fantastic.
See you at the games next year. I mean, even that is a PR stunt. And I'm like, great, good. When it's something like normal and good, I'm like, you played me and I'm happy to be played.
Well, we talked earlier about the 180 that Apple did, like smash the man and becoming the man. Like talk about that 180 of Budweiser where it's like, let's prey on children in 1995. And now it's like, we're going to use our powers for good. You know,
it buys them more credibility than any like funny commercial probably would.
And
so.
I bet there's a lot of anti-vaxxers that drink Budweiser. You know, like that is probably their beer of choice. So
for
Budweiser to let them down, they got to think long and hard about that. I just love idiots having to be faced with true dilemma.
Give me us our funny commercials. That's not an impression of everyone. Anyways.
Okay, let's take a quick break and then we'll be back with our number one picks. Okay, and we are back Mary, since you are our guest, you are our finale, so you will be going last.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope you don't pick it.
I know. Well, feel free to interject. It happens.
Yeah, it happens all the time. Okay. This is like probably one of the first episodes where we've had no overlap, so we're already ahead of the game.
Okay.
My number one pick is a Budweiser commercial, and that's why I am so honored to be talking about them. Is yours a Budweiser commercial, Mary?
No.
Okay, great. So then I can give my honorable mention. My honorable mention is also a Budweiser commercial.
Come on.
And it's and the reason this is not on my top three and is honorable mention is because it was not the premiere of this commercial. It was just like another notch in the story, and that is the "What's up?"
You could do it better.
What's up?
There you go. You just say it anyways.
It is my favorite commercial of all time. Yeah. I love it. Friend of the show, former guest Tommy Mack and I, every time we see each other, we say it. I'll never get enough of Budweiser "What's up?" But for our purposes today, my number one, and I don't even know if I can pick, is the Clydesdales.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Oh, come on.
These horses are beautiful. They are.
They're beautiful.
One of them kicked a football. One of them kicked a football.
I know they did.
They make me cry. When I see them, I go, oh my God. Like, truly, I have shushed people before. I've been like, the horses are on. The horses are on. Like, I fucking love these horses. I would follow these. CJ's name is Clyde. I married a Clydesdale.
Maybe that's why. Maybe shout out to them. That's why this is all happened this way.
I have to say my favorite, I think, I don't know. I love this. There was a circus one and the horse met a white horse named Daisy and she was in the circus and then he went and saved her from the circus. I loved that. The 2014 one is when the Clydesdale meets a golden retriever puppy. Oh my God.
I knew it.
And then the 2015 one, that same puppy, which doesn't make sense. There's sort of like there's a plot hole there. A different puppy gets lost and then the Clydesdale finds it and brings it back home. I just can't even. I love these horses. I love them with Santa. I love them in snow. I love them in the desert. I love them by the ocean. I just really love to see their little pretty hooves and everywhere they are. I love them. I just love Clydes. And
I didn't know you were such an equestrian.
I'm not.
I didn't realize.
No, you like beautiful. You like,
I'm not even
like,
a
that's
horse
a beautiful
girl.
Horse.
Well,
and
I
now
could,
they're playing football. Those are two things you love.
Yeah. I think of the Clydesdales as like just Super Bowl contained too.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
I guess maybe sometimes there's Christmas ones, but it's like, it's almost like the polar bears of Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. You like know they're coming and like, this is their time. Like they're like, step aside.
I think you just also appreciate any other being that has beautiful hair. You just real mm-hmm. recognizes mm-hmm. real. And you're like, the mane on that Clydesdale, a shiny coat.
Yeah.
I think that's something more deep down in there.
And maybe that's it. And I also think they have beautiful, big, warm, kind eyes.
Mm-hmm. So I think the horses are just doing a lot of the heavy lifting. Not so much the commercial.
It has nothing to do. No,
it's only the horses. No, it's truly only the horses. And if someone was like, save the Clydesdale horses, I would give money. Like, I need them to be okay. I fully understand we're not going to see them this year. And I appreciate what they're personally doing, because I do think it's them that is getting vaccine awareness out. The Clydesdales.
It was their idea.
It was their idea.
The horses came together.
Mm-hmm.
They said, listen, if you guys don't do what you're supposed to do, we're out. You're losing your big money ticket. Have you heard Megan talk about this? Because that's how America feels.
Wow.
All right.
One little nugget. They have been with the Super Bowl since 1986. And yes, that was the year that I was born. Okay.
It's all meant to be. And the same month, coming together.
February 1986. We premiered the same month. That is
unbelievable.
Wow. Oh, God, I love them. I'm going to miss them, and I can't wait to see them in 2020, just
we
like my
watch
family.
Them again. We'll watch them. We'll throw it up on YouTube after.
No, I've been watching them for the last hour prepping for this, I couldn't even pick which one I wanted.
She's just crying.
I started crying. I love them.
Now I know what to get you for your birthday.
Okay. Okay, CJ, what is your number one pick?
All right, my number one pick is E-Trade Talking Baby. Now,
it's a good one.
It's pretty funny, and I feel like it inspired. I mean, again, Puppy Monkey Baby. The baby part is definitely, they were really hitting that target demo. I don't know if this is the first of like the babies being a part of the Super Bowl commercials, but this was a very successful. It was, you know, it was an E-Trade baby who was talking about getting into stocks and trading and investing, but it was a baby. And it premiered in 2008 during the Pats Giants Super Bowl 42. Super Bowl lasted 7 years. And so I was just like reading about the backstory and like who created it. It was Gray New York, which is like a big ad agency, but it was actually the first commercial that this guy who came from Leo Burnett, which is
Leo Burnett.
John Hughes was, that was his advertising job, but it was his first gig. He was so nervous and he went over to Gray New York and was like, here's the idea for E-Trade, whatever. And like, it was a Super Bowl commercial and it was huge. And then he was promoted to head of Gray New York.
And his name is Donald J. Trump.
No, his name is Tor Myron.
Tor Myron.
I should look and see if he's done anything bad.
No,
Tor
we
Myron.
Don't need to.
We don't need to.
No.
And yeah, 7 years of E-Trade Baby.
And it premiered in 2008.
08 and lasted until, 14.
So that was the Giants Patriots Super Bowl
undefeated.
That we all kept referencing last week.
Yeah, which is one of the greatest Super Bowls.
Great Super Bowl, great commercial.
Exactly. So they really had the stage. And yeah, in the last commercial, again, very self-aware of the company in the commercials, the baby quit mid-commercial.
I do have to say, so 08, I think it was 09, all of the commercials were about the crash of the stock market.
That makes
and
sense.
And all of like the remember when all the commercials for 1 year were just like empty office buildings with, what are those, dust?
Tumbleweeds.
Like that was dust wheels. that was like a theme. That year sucked. I hated that year. It was like, we know we have been negatively affected. We came here for some fun. And now you're just showing us dust wheels outside
in
of cubicles. And we were hoping for baby stalking. So 08 was the almost feels like the end of E-Trade, that monster commercial, then those companies like ceased to exist.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Okay. Mary, take us home.
Okay. My number one, I also have an honorable mention.
Yeah, give it to us.
Do we want the honorable mention first?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. My honorable mention is a 2011 Volkswagen commercial.
Yes.
Where the little kid is dressed up as Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And he's like going all around the house trying to move things with the Force. And then the Volkswagen comes up and has a remote start and his dad like turns it on and he like freaks out. That was one that I was like, this is adorable.
Yeah.
Like, I really love this. This is so cute. This is the cutest that lying to your kid has ever been, I feel. That was just...
People love that commercial too. Everyone,
very
that
cute.
Was like on a lot of lists that I saw. And I have a Volkswagen, so it's exciting for me.
Oh, you get it. You get it. But my number one was also an E-Trade commercial.
Oh.
And it's from 2000, and it's where they have the monkey dancing in between two dudes who are just sitting in the garage, and he's like offbeat dancing. And then it's like, well, we just wasted $2 million. And like that text comes up on the screen and then it says, what are you doing with your money? And I'm like,
genius.
It's just so perfect. Like it's to the point. It addresses, like, they're not hiding how expensive it is to have a Super Bowl ad. And then they're also like, look, everybody's an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, let us help you be less of an idiot. I love that.
It's so great. I mean, and these big companies like willing to take those chances. You know how many people like are on those companies and like, all right, we need to make a splash. And to do that is just, it's incredible. And I almost am like, why aren't companies taking bigger chances like that? But to do that in 2000, and it's just perfect. That would be a great commercial now.
And the guys in this, very different than the secret fridge. It's like kind of a weird man and then a man that you assume is his dad. And they look like they're in a very different kind of garage than like we probably were used to seeing growing up. They have like a boom box. The monkey is really charismatic and cute.
Oh yeah. Tapping his foot, like totally just getting it.
Yeah.
And I love it. Cause when you're watching it, you're like, what could this possibly have to do with anything?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, we just wasted $2 million. And you're like, I love this. This is incredible.
And again, it inspired. It was one part or one third of the puppy monkey baby thing. It was like,
yes,
we get the baby one.
Yeah, we do love the monkey.
Each trade has done both.
And we all know how much the Super Bowl commercials cost. And we all know that it's stupid and bad and they shouldn't like be doing it or whatever. And so for a company to like overtly say this cost us X amount is so tongue in cheek. And yeah, it ends up being fun. I hope this monkey's doing okay. I don't check up on it. No, I'm not going to.
Google it. Just close your computer.
We've had a rough day.
I think they live for a long time. I don't know, actually. And I'm just hoping, like, does he get money? I don't know. Now I'm on some sort of page and I see a monkey behind a desk in a pinstripe suit.
I think you're thinking of Dunstan Checks In.
Yeah.
This was career builder. I mean, okay, so I guess the big takeaways from ads are Budweiser and monkeys. You know?
Yes.
Monkeys kill it. Budweiser kills it. And yeah, babies do a great job too. And that's really puppy monkey baby. I mean, they were not wrong. Wow. This has been wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
It was fun.
I'm choosing to not watch any of the commercials ahead of time.
Me too.
Yeah, it's the only way to do it. You know what I mean? Like, you want to experience it in the moment.
I did see a Wayne's World commercial and they look frightening.
I saw that.
They look frightening.
They look frightening.
they either got plastic surgery or really intensely washed their faces and then bad wigs and like their bodies are different. I mean, as you know, aging happens.
Well, they're older.
They're old.
I mean, that'll.
Yeah. So that's what Uber Eats.
They're old. You took off the earth. They're just old.
Yeah. They're just old. And I no longer want that sequel unless it's self-aware, which this was not.
Oh, it wasn't?
It was just like, hey, remember commercial? How fun? It was for Uber Eats.
No, we know about Uber Eats. Yeah.
And their wigs are strange.
No, if anything, Uber Eats, Postmates, Grubhub, all those places, you don't need to advertise this year. You've had big years. You've taken advantage of us and restaurants. So actually, why don't you fucking Budweiser and sit this year out?
Whoa.
You could really be spending the money you made, but truly extorting all of us for not wanting to leave our houses. And
now,
you could
on.
Be helping vaccines.
Let me float you this idea, Megan. Uber Eats puts out a Clydesdale commercial where they're delivering things by horseback.
Yes.
If they are delivering me the goddamn vaccine by horseback, I'll go, I was wrong, Uber. But other than that, if I could take an Uber that is a Clydesdale, I'd be happy to.
I don't even
want to ride on their back because I don't want to hurt them.
That's in New York.
No, they're strong.
I'll walk them. I'll walk it, though, like a dog. I would walk it like a dog, but not on a leash. Uh-huh. I would just walk next to it and go, wherever you want to go is fine.
So it would walk you.
It would walk me. I would love to be walked by a Clydesdale.
All right. This is getting off the rails. Mary, tell us a little bit more about your album. Where can people find it? When is it available?
My debut album, my very first comedy album, only took 9 years to do, is called Hillbilly Bougie, and it'll be available everywhere on February 26th. So iTunes, Spotify, Bandcamp, Apple Music, wherever you get it, Amazon. And right now I have the links up for pre-order. So you can follow my Instagram, which is at Mary Santora Comedy, and my Twitter, which is Mary_Santora. And the link to the album is in the bio of both of those. So if you go to any of my social media, the link right in my bio, click it, you can pre-order it. And then it'll drop fully on the 26th of February.
Awesome. Listeners, one of the best things you can do to support artists right now is to buy their content. We are not able to travel and to tour and to do stand up in the way that we usually are. And so you are truly giving back if you buy. And if you don't, I'll fucking be really pissed.
Whoa.
Okay. Everybody in Buffalo that's always tweeting about me at the Bills. Okay. You need to buy Mary's album. Okay. That's what Bills Mafia wants you to do. We got to get Bills Mafia behind it. They love to.
Dude,
they love a good
Bills fans, Bills Mafia in the Dog Pound, Cleveland Browns fans. We are
kindred spirits,
cut from same cloth.
Absolutely. They could do Married at First Sight with them, and they would work out
100%.
Yeah,
we aren't jumping through tables, but we are both tailgating at 6 a.m. We both have had a hard time, followed by a great year. I mean,
cold winter.
If we could get
lake effect snow, all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're all on Lake Erie. Let's help. Okay.
That's what I would like. Yes, Megan, I would love to see a huge Bills Mafia Mary Santoro following come from this. Nothing would make me happier.
I've had a real uptick in Lions fans contacting me, and I'm excited to hear from you. I'm very, very sorry about Matthew Stafford, but yeah, keep talking to me. I'm thrilled to know you. You can find me at Megan Gailey, at Better Megan Gailey on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. I'm at CJ Toledano and everything.
Yeah. Rate, review, send love. We love your messages. Maybe we'll open up an email account and people can send us suggestions. Yeah. That's probably a good idea that we should have done 13 months ago. but we'll get on that. Mary, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes. Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely.
We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye. Bye.
The Greatest is a production of iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.